The sermon, the message that the Lord has for us today is that solitude with God is not time spent alone. That we need to be developing a heart of solitude. The German Lutheran pastor and theologian, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who wrote the 1937 modern classic, The Cost of Discipleship, made the following statement about solitude in another book dated 1939 called Life Together. Bonhoeffer said this, "One who wants fellowship without solitude plunges into the void of words and feelings. And the one who seeks solitude without fellowship perishes into the abyss of vanity, self-infatuation, and despair. The gripping control of fear and being alone can drive anyone to noise and crowds. But loneliness or racket are not our only alternatives. We can cultivate an inner solitude and silence in our hearts that will actually set us free from loneliness and fear. Loneliness is the inner bondage of emptiness. Loneliness is the inner bondage of emptiness. But a place of solitude can be an inner fulfillment of our heart that can be maintained at all times. It can set us free from being alone in order to... Sometimes we just need to kind of sort out things with God. What's on our minds and in our hearts. And then solitude allows us to be able to listen more intently to hear what the Lord is trying to say to us more clearly. Solitude with God is not time spent alone, but rather time well spent. As our guiding example of developing the outward spiritual discipline of heart solitude, Jesus sought out solitary places to be alone with the Father in prayer and also to be still, to practice, and we all need to do this. We all need to practice the art of listening. In Luke chapter 5, verse 16, one of Christ's disciples made a pointed observation and said that Jesus often withdrew to the wilderness for prayer. Now, similar to the passage in the Gospel of Matthew 26, would you please turn in your Bibles to the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 22, and we're going to read verses 39 to 44. And let's read together about one of these silent, solitary places that Jesus chose to be alone with the Father. And as you're turning there, I want to reiterate again. Sometimes we will go voluntarily to a place of solitude and silence with the Lord. But those that are sick, those that are in hospice, those that are in memory care, those that are in assisted living, those that are in nursing skilled living places, those that are homebound, those that are sick, those that are just wore out. My prayer is that this message today will give you a new hope and to take those times where you really can't go anywhere physically, but give you a renewed spirit within that you will be made whole and complete and not feel alone or empty. In Luke 22, verses 39 to 44, and Jesus came out and went, as was his custom, to the Mount of Olives, and the disciples followed him. And when he came to the place, he had said to them, "Pray that you may not enter into temptation. And he withdrew from them about a stone's throw and knelt down and prayed. He said, Father, if thou art willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Now let me stop you there. If you are reading out of the Revised Standard Edition, which is what we have in our pews, you'll notice it jumps from verse 42 to 45. But if you see in the endnote, as well as in other ancient authorities and Bible translations, there is a verse 33 and 34. And let me read that to you. And there appeared to him an angel from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. And his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down upon the ground. I didn't want to leave that out because, to be honest with you, in all the visitations, which is a great joy for me, I see so many in agony. And I want them to have hope. They're not alone. The presence of God and their friends here in our church and in the body of Christ are with you. Verse 45, and when he rose from prayer, he came to the disciples and found them sleeping for sorrow. And he said to them, why do you sleep? Rise and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The Lord's blessings be upon all of us in the reading of his word. In our primary scripture passage for today, we find that Jesus is spending solitude time in an olive grove, as was his custom. Yet in other synoptic gospels, in other passages in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, we witness our Lord in alternative settings of separatedness. For example, we find him out in the desert before he had to deal with the devil. Or he was out in the desert before he chose his 12 disciples. Another place we found Jesus was at a lonely or deserted place. And he did that before he fed the 5,000 people. We also find that he's in the hills before walking on water. And we find that he was in the wilderness after cleansing a leper and before healing a paraplegic. We also found him on a lonely mountain before the transfiguration. And as we sung, we also found him in the garden before his betrayal. A couple of other places, we also find him alone in separatedness while walking beside the sea and being still beside a lake. Here's an interesting observation. All of these biblically recorded locations where Jesus prayed for an extended period of time were done outside. When Jesus prayed by himself, he seemed to prefer the outdoors rather than the indoors. Maybe one of the reasons is that he felt closer to the Father by being surrounded by God's creation and glory. Maybe another one is it's easier to be alone outside and not be tempted from other people. Or maybe he just wanted to be in a place. I know I have, where you just want to call out and shout out and cry out to God in the middle of the wilderness on top of a mountain so that nobody else can hear you. In whatever setting you choose, whether it's in a prayer closet or on a mountaintop, each of us need to make time to be alone with God each and every day. There is too much going on inside of us. Mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually, biologically, there is so much going on inside of us that we need God to hush the storms within our life and within our mind and within our body. To help calm the anxieties that come inwardly, but then bombard us all around us externally. We must seek God's face and be still in His presence every day. Let me give you a couple reasons Jesus chose to separate from people and spend time alone with the Father. And these can be great ones. I hope that you write it down. If you don't write it down, once they get it posted on the website, you can go back and play this message again and write it down. Here are six reasons that I think is very, very important why we need to separate ourselves from the Lord and be alone in solitude and silence with Him. These are examples from Jesus. In Luke, in order to prepare for a major task. After Jesus was baptized, He spent 40 days praying in the wilderness, and after that He was tempted by Satan, and then He began His public ministry. So in order to prepare for a major task, spend time alone with the Lord. A second one, out of Mark chapter 6. In order to recharge after hard work. Jesus sent His 12 disciples out to do ministry, and when they had returned, He encouraged them, separate yourself from all the people who were following them. And He said, go over and let's take time to rest. Then we find in Matthew chapter 14, a third one to separate ourselves is in order to work through grief. Matthew 14, after Jesus had learned that His cousin John the Baptist had been beheaded, He went away by Himself. There are many of us have, are, or will go through a time of grief. But rest assured that even the Son of God grieves. A fourth one is before Jesus had made an important decision. In Luke chapter 6, early in the ministry, Jesus spent the whole night alone in prayer. The next day, He chose His 12 disciples. A fifth one was He found Himself in a time of distress. Out of Luke chapter 22, hours before Jesus was arrested, He went to the Mount of Olives and went a short distance away from the disciples to pray. And when there was great emotional agony knowing what He was about to face. In a time of great distress, separate yourself out in solitude and silence and be still before the Lord. And the sixth one was in order to focus on prayer. Luke chapter 5. Many times Jesus in His ministry, He spent time alone in prayer. Obedience to God and spiritual success. Obedience to God and spiritual success require the maturing disciple of Christ to cultivate a balance. You have to have a balance of quiet solitude and meaningful fellowship with others. There's got to be a balance there. Solitude with God and meaningful fellowship with others. Yet in order to see, hear, and achieve solitude, we must understand and experience the transforming power of silence. Silence is one of the deepest disciplines of the Spirit because it puts when you're finally really silent before the Lord, it puts a lid on self-justification. I know better than everybody else, and I'm right, and they're always wrong. And it puts a lid on self-centered compulsion to explain yourself away to others or complain about others. Because when you are before the Lord, it shuts the mouth of all of that. When we control the discipline of solitude and silence, we will be able to control our tongue. Instead of speaking with fire and accusing and judging and manipulating others, It controls the ability to use our tongue rather for a fitting word. In Proverbs 25:11, it advises us to use our tongue so that it be like apples of gold in a setting of silver. When we trust God to be in control and guide our words to speak or not speak at all, the results will be a mind that is calm, that is quiet, and a heart that remains at peace. For when we do that, we actually let the Lord be our justifier. Our overt act of silence will allow God to care for us. Inwardly, we'll develop a healthy self-image. And outwardly, we'll develop a Christ-like image and reputation perceived by others. Bonhoeffer offers this thought: real silence, real stillness, really holding one's tongue comes only as the sober consequence of spiritual stillness. Practicing the stillness of our mind, our body, and our soul, we need to allow God to strip away our dependence on our emotional life so that He may work on our inner transformation upon our soul. This requires us to allow our physical, our emotional, our psychological, our spiritual senses to be silenced. It's easy to give up the quest of silence. I'm too busy. I'm in such a hurry. There's so many things grabbing at me. But please don't let those things deny God, who is lovingly drawing you away from every distraction so that you can see Him clearly. May I encourage us today to just be still and wait. Some practical steps that you could take in developing a heart of solitude is, you know what? We do have, if you look at your calendar and think about it, we do have times in the day where we have these little solitude times. And just grab them and say, you know what? I'm going to have a solitude time with the Lord today. Develop a quiet place designed for silence and solitude. Ask the Lord, where would be a good place for me to go have a quiet place? And then that'd be your designated place to say, I'm going to go and have a sacred time with the Lord. Another thing is that you may try this. And I'll tell you, quite honestly, my wife would probably love this. But I should try for an entire day not to say one word. Another one would be 4 times a year, withdraw for a few hours just for the purposes of reorienting your life goals. Maybe even participate in a 2 or 3 day study retreat. Take an annual retreat with no other purpose but solitude. Christian author and founder of the Transforming Center, Dr. Ruth Haley Barton, wrote a book entitled Invitation to Solitude and Silence, Experiencing God's Transforming Presence. Now, Ruth claims that the spiritual disciplines of silence and solitude may be quiet, but they're also full of great adventure. Because you know why? God Himself is waiting to meet you there. Whenever you get away from the noise and busyness of life to encounter God through silence and solitude, God promises that He will change your soul in a way that goes beyond words. And Ruth offers some steps that you could take to meet and grow closer to God through silence and solitude. Let me go through them to you really, really quickly. She says, step one, pay attention to what is stirring your heart. What's stirring your soul? Now, let's be candid. Let's be honest here. In many times, we have a tendency to try to negotiate with God. So we kind of suppress what's stirring our soul. Instead of suppressing our feelings, our anger, our hurt, let those emotions, let those motivate you to pursue time with God in silence and solitude. A second one would be incorporate silence and solitude into your life regularly. I would encourage you to say, you know what, for 10 minutes, I know on my phone I have a calendar that has a time in it, and I should just put in that time solitude with God, these 10 minutes. Just put it in your phone. Number three, overcome resistance. Don't let anything distract you from devoting yourself regularly to time, spending, and seeking God so that you can be free to be fully in His presence. I don't know about you, but a lot of times when I'm in my prayer time and I'm praying, there are so many things that come into my head. Phones ringing. My alarm goes off. Somebody's yelling. There's always something. And, oh, I got to do this. There's something at the church I need to do, or I need to call somebody, or I need to write this letter, or something like that. And I literally have found myself, as I'm praying, I will literally start shaking my head. In other words, I will have a physical reaction to denying those things from coming in to interrupt my time with the Lord. I said, nope, you're not coming in. I'm focusing in on the Lord right now. I'll deal with that afterwards. You want to be fully present with God. If your anxiety and your anxiousness and your being afraid when you think about spending time in solitude or silence, may I encourage you? Just admit that to the Lord and ask Him to confront and deal with it in your life. Step four, seek rest for your mind, body, and soul. Pray for the wisdom you need to recognize when you are dangerously tired. Have any of you been tired, just wore out from this last year? I know I have. Moving houses, you know, taking care of sick family members. There's so many things. Work, people at work getting sick, and so you have to do more work. People giving you excuses and arguing with you and just creating conflict all around you. If you are getting dangerously tired, exhausted by life's demands, to the point where you honestly say to the Lord, you know what? I'm having a really hard time hearing your voice, Lord. Admit that to Him. Accept God's invitation to rest in His presence during solitude and silence. Ask God to help you quiet your mind and to listen to Him with your spirit, trusting that He will respond to you and your prayers and that He will speak to you. Many of us are still working through grief, the passing away of a family member. Grief, time, periods of grief, you can't rush grief. Sometimes for some, it's shorter, but there are people that can go through grief for multiple years. If grief is wearing on your soul, confess it to God. When your soul feels grateful for God's love, express gratitude for God. God knows what you're going through. He wants to be with you during this time. Seek solitude and silence with Him. Let emptiness lead you into God's fulfillment. Don't try to deny or avoid the emptiness you feel inside. I know sometimes, God, I just feel very empty. I am exhausted. Instead of recognizing that emptiness is a bad thing, it actually could be a good thing when it motivates you to turn to God to seek fulfillment during your times of solitude. God, I am all pooped out. I am just going to sit here and wait on You and be silent and ask You to please speak to me. So feel the pain of your emptiness as it carves out space in your soul for you to receive more of God's presence. Another one is face yourself as you really are and let God help you. Rather than hiding from God, denying who you are, or trying to control what others think or do, allow the truth of who you are to surface during solitude and silence. And face the reality of the person you are, flaws and all. Then remember that God loves you deeply and unconditionally, and ask Him to meet you right where you are and to help you grow more into the person that He wants you to become. See, you got to realize this. God is for you. God is with you. And God is in you when you open yourself up to His powerful presence. So give yourself completely to God, who loves you just as you are. But you know what? He also loves you too much to let you stay as you are. We are being transformed. Another one is receive God's guidance. The more time you spend with God in silence and solitude, the more you'll learn how to recognize God's voice when He speaks to you. Pray for the guidance you need to make wise decisions and to be alert for the Holy Spirit witnessing to your spirit about what is true. Because if you're not spending time with the Lord in solitude and silence, there's no way you're going to recognize a false witness versus what is truth. And it will just consume you and neutralize you. And Satan will win. Remember that the Holy Spirit will reveal truth to you only as you are able to bear it. So trust God's timing. And now, as we come to a close of this message, let me share with you the last one, which quite frankly is my biggest takeaway. This is evidence of having spent honest and true quality time with God. Listen to this one. Let the love that you experienced in solitude and silence pour out into other people's lives. Let that joy of rejuvenation. God has filled your emptiness with His completeness in His presence. Let that then overflow into the lives of others. Every time that you return to life in community with other people after spending time in solitude and silence, draw upon the love of God that He has now given you to love others in ways that He wants you to express love. In order to speak kindness and encouraging words, to serve them when they need help with something. Take what God has given you during your meeting with Him in solitude and silence. Don't hoard it. I remember when I was in college, first time I ever bought uncooked ham. I had to work over at McDonald's for $1.25 an hour. I went and bought uncooked ham. Didn't know what in the world to do with it, so I put it in the refrigerator and I was going to save it. I kept it in my refrigerator for a month. Uncooked ham. I took it out, rotten, spoiled, and molded. I took a great piece of ham and I ruined it because I hoarded it. Don't hoard the Lord's love pouring through you. Be a conduit. Don't let your spirit mold and rot in the refrigerator. Use it to bless others when you're with them. Thomas Morton, a 20th century Catholic priest, also known as Father Lewis, offers to you today. He said this: "It is in deep solitude that I find the gentleness with which I can truly love my brothers. The more solitary I am, the more affection I have for them. Solitude and silence teach me to love my brothers for what they are, and not for what they say. May I encourage you to follow the Lord's example and to ask God to help each one of us master the discipline of solitude. If you do, I am confident that the Lord will lead you to the presence of and immerse you in the silence of God, which in turn will bear the sweet fruit of solitude. What is that sweet fruit of solitude? Would you like to have an increased sensitivity and compassion towards others? You will. As well as the freedom to be Christ-like with others. As God is with you today, ask Him to give you a heart of solitude today.